settle down. I'm not in the mood for your crap.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects, and it is a celebrity-filled fill-in week on The Usual Suspects. Nick's here, I'm here. Barry, out chasing the stars in Hollywood, doing a comedy festival, so therefore it'll be a plethora of celebs, starting with our own Raheel Ramzanali, who's going to be here both today and Thursday. Raheel, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for having me in. Excited to be here, and can't wait. 2 days.
Good to have you. Good to have you with us.
Absolutely.
I did notice that from the time that I reached out and asked you if you wanted to do it, that you not only swooped in on one day, but you immediately swooped in on two.
Yeah.
Without even being asked, he just swooped in on two, Nick.
Oh, is that what happened?
That's what happened.
To be fair.
Are we going to be fair now?
Joel did text me saying, hey, are you up to do a day or two? And I think he was being polite, right? Like, and just like, hey, maybe do a day or two, right? Like, no one ever takes the two. You just go, yeah, I'll do a day. But I saw the two and I said, wait, more airtime? I get to fill in, get to sit with Joel, talk some hoops, some NFL,
yeah, or
get
two.
To hang out with Nick. I opted for the two.
You swooped on it. I was going to say, I'm open to 2 days, but I was like, well, you know, let me see people like, see who else is available to before I go and commit. And then he just went back and goes, no, I'll take Monday and Thursday, and I already let Jong know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Well, then those 2 days are now off the board.
Well, gotta take the initiative, I guess.
Yeah. If I just took a day, Joel wouldn't be like, well, take one more, right? It's like when you're at somebody's
house. I might have been.
I don't know, but when you're at somebody's house, they go, yeah, why don't you stick around a little bit longer after dinner? But in reality, that's your cue, right? Like a good house guest goes, all right, it's time for me to go. You know, when they go, yeah, well, you should stick around.
It's the poltergeist. Get out. Yeah. Get out. That's what it really means.
Yeah. But when you put that, so you should not put that too. If you would have said, hey, why don't you fill in for a day or three?
You would have come back and gone, I'm free all week. I'll
Monday,
take it
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Let's do this.
Don't put that out there.
You just say no. I'm good. I mean, but that's fine.
It's I like how he interpreted that, the day or two portion of the test.
Right? But it's better than having someone that they give you that you don't want to work with, and you're like, this isn't good. There's no chemistry.
See? And I was trying to be nice. I tried to eat up 2 days for you so you didn't have to deal with somebody you didn't like.
Oh, you ate them up so quickly you didn't even chew. You just Pac-Man. Just
hey, man, you gotta learn when you're one of four kids in a family, you better eat fast. I eat.
I made that mistake and turned out to be the size of a hot air balloon from some of my young childhood. So that you have to be aware of that too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So what was the weekend like, fellas? What was going on? Anything I missed? Anything adventurous? Nick?
Nothing for me, really. I was just watching TV. I didn't really do anything. I even caught a little bit of the PGA.
You got hooked on golf for 5 minutes.
Yeah, for like 10 minutes.
Well, it's a start. It's like your two-stepping career. I mean, it started slow, and then it just gained steam, and it picked up.
Exploded, yeah.
So, I mean, this Tiger mania continues. You might become a full-fledged golf fan. You won't. You fall asleep to it.
Yeah, it's the best nap.
Stupid.
The Masters, the greatest nap. It's such a great nap. I record it and play it back on days. Like on a Sunday, if I just want to take a good nap, put on the Masters.
Yo, it's offensive. It's ridiculous.
It's not.
Yes, it is. And I'm not.
Ratings, baby.
Granato goes like way over the deep end. But I literally wanted Tiger to win simply because of the fact that I have a guy that I've known that I used to work with at the Rockets that poo-poos all over Tiger and makes stupid comments like Tiger is only who he is in the history of golf because the rest of the golfers sucked back then. It wasn't because of his ability or anything. I'm like, you're out of your mind. I mean, you realize that Phil Mickelson could be the greatest golfer ever if there was no Tiger Woods? You can't say that. So he was like, well, he'll never win another major. He's never going to win another tournament. He's this, that, and the other thing. And I'm going, for that very reason, I'm going, come on, man, bring this thing home.
and prove everybody wrong, but also give me a huge feather in my cap to go, I told you so.
Yeah, there seems to be a pure like side on this with golf fans. Like, we like Tiger. We want to see him win one more. And then the other side is just like, when is this Tiger dude going to go away? When is this going to end? When is this going
to
end?
Golf wanted at least him to come close. But golf really needs him to be relevant still, because you're looking at a guy in Brooks Koepka who won his second major of the year, his third of the last seven, and people don't know who the hell he is, and they know his arms more than they know anything about the dude. That means golf needs help, and Tiger is still there to help.
And that's why yesterday was the best thing to happen to golf.
Why?
Because Tiger was in contention. Mm-hmm. You had everyone that was interested come watch this. I tuned in. After the Astros game, I was hooked. I was like, I want to watch Tiger do this. But you know what I left? I left as a fan of Brooks Koepka, because I wouldn't have watched it without Tiger. I know the name Brooks Koepka. I've never seen him play. I'll be honest with you. But yesterday, because Tiger brought me in and the shine of Tiger wore off on Brooks Koepka, hopefully golf is now leaving because of the stats that you just said, right? Mm-hmm. He just won two majors. Like, this is huge, right? What Jordan Spieth was doing when he first hit the tour, you had a bunch of younger guys rooting for Jordan Spieth because he's the next guy. While Brooks has been on the tour for a little bit longer, him doing what he did already in this season and going back to last season, you hopefully, as if you're golf, right, the PGA, you're hoping that there's a group of fans that left yesterday, like me, fans of Brooks Koepka, and that if Brooks is in contention on Saturday, I'm not going to watch on Thursday or Friday. I'm not going to tune in every single round. But if my guy is in contention Saturday or Sunday, maybe that will help a little bit with the interest.
It might, but the bigger thing is, and Nick is the perfect example, people that aren't otherwise going to be a golf fan tuned in because it was Tiger Woods. And that's what Tiger did for the entire sport of golf. He brought in demographics that otherwise wouldn't even give a rat's a-hole about mm-hmm. golf. And all of a sudden, they became part-time fans, then consistent fans, then diehard fans because of Tiger Woods. And he can still do that. And I think to some degree, you're right, because the fact that he didn't win it, but he showed that he possibly could again, is going to start, you're going to see start mm-hmm. those fans migrate back again.
And I go back to when Jordan was on the Wizards, where, uh-huh. right, like, Jordan on the Wizards, you just wanted to see him one last time, one big push, right? You want to see the greatest of all time, do it one last time, get that one awesome block, that one fadeaway, so you can remember that. But while all this was going on, a lot of fans left fans of Kobe Bryant, because there's the next great thing, right? You see, hopefully, you can find that next great thing, and while Tiger's shining now, the next great thing could be Brooks Koepka. It could be one of these guys that you know, 10 years from now are still watching because Tiger brought you back in, because Jordan brought you back in one last time.
Well, you remember Jordan had a couple 40 spots mm-hmm. where everybody was like, wait a minute. But that's exactly that's what they were waiting for. The glimpse, and to be able to tell their kids, or maybe their kids get to mm-hmm. see him even though it's on the downside, go see. He did that on a night-in, night-out basis when he was with the Bulls.
And while you're watching him, though, the big thing for the NBA is, well, while you're here, since you guys are already here, how about this other talent that is here? How about this Allen Iverson guy? How about this Kobe Bryant? How about these guys that are the next generation?
Well, they all jumped on the Rip Hamilton mm-hmm. bandwagon yeah. after that, right?
Remember when Rip Hamilton was like, oh, man, he's the next Jordan. What? No, just because he played with Jordan doesn't make you the next Jordan.
Jordan also intimidates people to the point where Rip kind of disappeared in the whole Wizards year and then got to Detroit and just took off.
Dominated in Detroit. But that's if I'm golf, if I'm this, you know, governing body. Like, we always say golf, like, there's so many different factors. But if I'm golf today, I'm excited because I know people keep talking about Tiger, but every conversation I've heard nationally, locally, it's, well, nobody's talking about Brooks Koepka. Well, the fact that we already said his name is huge. It's huge.
It's just weird that a guy can win three majors in the last seven majors out there and not have a little bit more attention. He's a Nike guy, so you'd think Nike would be pubbing him up like crazy. Patrick Reed got more pub than when he won the Masters than anything Koepka's done. Mm-hmm. That's weird. But to your point, the biggest thing is there's no more majors this year. So now They will both be relevant in the conversation until the Masters in April of 2019 because there's nothing in between to make you think otherwise. The new odds are already out for who's going to win the Masters next April. And the leaders right now, Tiger and Spieth.
Wow.
Jordan Spieth. So
that's awesome.
And so that will be conversation between now and next April.
Look, golf is, if this continues and Tiger's in the hunt, maybe even wins one, but you need these other guys to be in the conversation. You need a Dustin Johnson, a Brooks Koepka, hell, even an Adam Scott in the conversation, Jordan Spieth.
Thomas.
You got to have these guys there because you hope some of these residual fans hook on to one of these
latch
guys.
Latch on.
Yeah.
With fandemonium. Yeah, and the thing is, and I've got, I mean, I know you guys don't really care for golf, and we're kind of flipping the script a little bit. We'll get to some of the off-the-beat stuff next segment. But my big thing on Tiger, too, was you saw something from Tiger you never saw before. You saw a confidence and an unparalleled killer instinct when he used to play that he knew no one could touch him. Yesterday, he was mortal. And I think it's because of the fact that he started to realize I'm not in my 20s and 30s anymore. Mm. I'm not making runs where I'm just running off five or six tournaments a year. And when you felt that crowd roar again, the massive appeal all of a sudden, and I think he started overthinking. Like, he left two putts on the lip he never would have done before because he realized this may be my last chance there. This may be something that I may never do again. I gotta. Whereas before it was like, I'm gonna drive this stake right through this guy's heart making this putt. It seemed like he almost cried at the end of the tournament, which was weird too. But maybe that's because he appreciates the fact that this isn't as easy as it used to be.
I think it's because his dealer doesn't operate out of St. Louis. That's why he's like, where am I gonna get my
But yet again, the thing that most people were talking about aside from where the dealer was. Did you see the little butt grab and the kiss on the way in?
Oh,
people
want
to talk all about that. They were as concerned about that as the tournament.
That was a nice little, man, when your woman is slapping you on the ass,
yep.
That is the ultimate sign of like, that dude can lay it down.
Well, she got to be careful because
my wife has never slapped me on the butt.
From what I've heard, he's an aggressive lay it down guy. So she's got to be careful.
Tiger. Hey, Tiger, go get it, man.
Tiger roared in many ways yesterday. All right, we got plenty more to get to. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HRP listener line. You can call, you can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's @_Raheel, which is R-A-H-E-E-L, @TheProducerNick, @PacmanJoel with a K. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. Locally owned and operated by Josh Pesikoff with his staff, they do a fantastic job because they want to build a relationship. It's great because of the fact that they're going to be 100% honest with you at all times, even if that means they lose your business to a cheaper competition. But like a trusted friend, you may come back again and again at different times because you know that they had the gumption, I said gumption, to be able to come forth and say, hey, someplace else has better rates. If you want to go there, you can. Otherwise, we can do this and this and this for you. The most important thing is they're going to pay attention. They're going to ask as many questions of you as you ask of them because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business or your family? And they go from there. But they tailor make a program for you in which you get a great rate. You get locked in with a contract and you make sure that it is perfect for when you use energy and when you don't. Call them at 844-INFUSE-2, 844-463-8732, or log on to infuseenergy.com. Right off the top, mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips, which is also fantastic, and it helps your environment. But it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that always has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Loving this. Raheel Ramzanali filling in for Barry Laminack. He's here today. He's here Thursday. Randy McAvoy of KPRC Channel 2 tomorrow. Jerry Rocha, friend of the show, comedian, going to be in town, going to fill in on Friday.
I think it's Jerry Rocha is what it is. Is how you pronounce it.
I thought it was Rocha.
Okay.
We'll figure it out by Friday. We've got some time. Either way, he'll be on the show with us, and he should feel lucky for that. So he won't mind if we trip over his name. And he'll be our comedian of the week. And Wednesday, we're kind of undecided. We'll figure that out as we go, but having some fun along the way. Barry is on the road doing some comedy at a comedy festival in L.A., so good for him to have some time to maybe get the big break because he's been killing it in comedy. So we got that. But in the meantime, normally the first segment or so, we get into what happened over the course of the weekend. We kind of got on the Tiger roll, but... you had some things going on this weekend.
Yeah, pretty good weekend. It was my wife's birthday on Friday.
Happy birthday to her.
So, celebrated a birthday, and it was nice. Went out for dinner, did the whole and did a family manicure pedicure because she wanted to do that with my daughter, and she goes, well, why don't you come along too?
I'm sure she'd have to twist your arm. That sounds like it's right down your head.
I'm actually not big on people touching me. I don't like it. It makes it really uncomfortable.
Time out. You who like to touch everyone else, mm-hmm. but you're not big on people touching you.
I hate it.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. I don't know why.
Say it. Say your trademark word.
It's uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
So it's. I don't like.
I go through this whole thing like 2 weeks ago, where everybody thought I was freaked out and I wasn't, but because I was going to give you the fist bump and you put your hand over my fist. And Barry videoed it and thought that I was so uncomfortable and freaking out, everything like that. And I'm not, but you always do that. That's your thing everybody knows. If someone goes for a fist bump, you're going to like put your whole hand around their fist. But yet you don't like to be touched.
No. Massages, I can't do them. I get uncomfortable because when I first graduated college, right, there was a sponsor of the show at 1560. We got free massages. And of course, my whole thing about massages growing up in the internet era and me being just, you know, screwed up in the head. I'm like, well, if there's going to be a massage, there's, you know, probably a little extracurricular activity at the end, right?
Bing.
And this was a very nice place. This isn't just some shady place off of Westheimer. This is one of those really nice spots. So I go there.
Is that a modeling studio?
Dude, the masseuse there was, I fell in love, obviously. Like, she was smoking hot. And it was so uncomfortable the whole time. Because I'm like, how do I hint at this? And the whole
time...
Were
you single at the time?
Yeah, I was single at the time. And it was just, I don't know. I could never enjoy it. And ever since then...
Need me to roll over? Did you just keep suggesting, need me to roll over? Ooh, I've got a twinge. It could be my groin.
And then when she told me to roll over, I'm like, well, obviously this is not this kind of place, right? So the whole time I'm just like not enjoying it. I'm like, please don't do anything stupid or heel. Please don't do anything. Don't show any signs of this is way too much fun or anything like that. So I've never been good with people touching me in that kind, in like a paid environment.
I feel like you lucked out because Nick, I don't know. Well, Nick used to get massages at HEB. No, I'm sorry, at Whole Foods.
Oh, you
that's
do
legitimate.
The, yeah, know, like where they have the
that's
chair.
That's legitimate.
The stand. You saw the stand. Yeah. They made fun of me for like 3 weeks because of that. You know that massage stand that they had at Whole Farm? Yeah,
Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was like what made them make fun of me is because I said the price. It was $1 a minute with a 10-minute minimum. So they were just like, oh, is that what it is? And then him and Barry had a field day for like 2 weeks.
And they had, look.
So you go to the salad bar, you get your salad tossed, get a massage for $10, and you got the whole deal in one swoop.
Wow. See? Everything you need for a guy.
Yeah.
What else do you need? You get your salad, you got your massage, you're good, $10, you're in and out.
Okay, but Nick, in all the times you've had those massages or other massages, I assume you've had other massages as well. Have you ever had a hot chick do the massage?
No.
Me
dude,
either.
I had a hot,
the odds
I mean,
for of that happening, and you get a hot one?
And then I went, so I'm not good with those. It just makes me uncomfortable. And then the pedicure,
Why? Because you pitch tents or what?
No, I just feel bad the whole time. I'm one of the, like, I feel bad that
you
somebody's
feel
working
bad that
on my
someone
feet.
Is trying to work the kinks out?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not good in those situations. So anyways, my wife is like, well, why don't you come along with us? And she knows I don't like getting pedicures or manicures. I know I'm metrosexual. I get that.
Yeah.
But I take care of my own stuff. Like I do it on my own, right?
So you bite your nails?
No, I trim my nails perfectly. No. I brush them, all that
I'm
stuff.
I'm not that guy. I bite my nails and no one's touching my feet.
Yeah. I don't like people touching me. So she's like, why don't you just come? And I was like, all right, let's just go. And my daughter enjoyed it. She loves those things already. She's a little princess.
Really?
3 and a half. Yeah. Yeah.
Because Taylor's going to be 3 at the end of the month and she doesn't know what the heck's going. She wouldn't.
It's
like Lisa tries to cut her. She has a conniption every time Lisa gets the toenail clippers really? Around her toes and her feet. I mean, her hands.
So my wife does it and my daughter will see my wife like doing her nails, painting them and all that stuff. So my daughter naturally wants to do just what mommy's doing. Mm-hmm. So she's turned into a little princess when it comes to that stuff. So she had the time of her life. She enjoyed it. And then I gave my wife a really nice gift, but my brother-in-law outgifted me. I mean, he made life a living hell for me. Her younger brother, who's my brother,
outgifts the Hubs?
Yeah. Yeah, ouch. It was a sad day. It was a sad day. And this is my, I mean, like, you know,
this
brother-in-law.
Gave her two gift cards instead of one?
Better. Yeah, you have a brother-in-law?
Are you not going to disclose?
Yes, I am. I'm going to get, do you have a brother-in-law?
Yes, I do.
Do you consider him to be your brother or
yes,
brother-in-law?
Yes, indeed. I consider him to be my brother. Yep.
It turns into your brother. For real, like, he is my brother. I play on, you know, he's nice enough, he's younger than me. So he's nice enough to put me on his basketball teams as the old guy, which is really nice. I have a team to play with, and I hang out with him a lot. So he sends me a picture. He goes, hey, does she have these? And it's those Apple AirPods.
Oh, that Nick loves.
The wireless.
I'm a big fan. Yeah,
those are awesome, right? And this is the day before her birthday, and I'm like, no, she doesn't have those. And I hope you don't give those to her, because my big gift to her was an electric toothbrush.
What?
Well, yeah. See, that's on you, bro.
That is completely on you. I'm with Nick on this.
I'm not talking about like a $10 Oral-B electric toothbrush you throw away. This is one of those really nice ones. Syncs up, Sonicare. I mean, seven times more plaque cleaning than a normal brush.
At least it's hygiene freak, but never in a million years. I don't care what kind of technology you got. Is an electric toothbrush worthy of a gift to your wife?
Or cooler than AirPods.
Dude, right. This is the Rolls Royce of electric toothbrushes. You know what? It's not an electric toothbrush. It's a different category.
Do you like when your wife touches you?
Yeah, that's my wife.
Then if you want your wife to touch you any further, don't worry about her Oral-B. Worry about something that gets right to the heartstrings or... better is romantic.
But it is romantic.
A toothbrush.
You know, really? You know what's the worst thing ever? Bad breath or plaque. And now she'll never have
that. So what, are you going to buy her a pack of gum next year because you already got her the toothbrush? Come on, man.
So it was a really nice toothbrush. There's a story. Like, I got one and she's always like, oh, I wish I had one. So I got her the electric toothbrush. And then my brother-in-law gave her AirPods.
Good for your brother-in-law.
I was so
mad.
I'm still
with
mad.
This one, Nick.
So mad.
He just got screwed because AirPods are so much cooler than an electric toothbrush.
Dude, what could I have gotten her that beats AirPods except for AirPods?
Is she a jewelry fan?
No, she's not.
Okay. Because Lisa's not really either. I get that.
See, that's a hard. Yeah. Like, usually.
Flowers?
No.
Add something to the gift that is like something you only know about your wife or that you know that she likes. Just to kind of give you that romantic feel, not just here, honey, here's your toothbrush.
Well, you can't just tell your brother-in-law to postpone the gift. Like,
no,
wait,
he gave it to her the day before.
Oh,
so,
man.
Like, the bar was set high. And then Friday morning, I get my daughter. I'm like, let's see if I can make this better. I made my daughter give it to her. And I'm like, she bought it. She went on Amazon and bought this, by the way, not me.
So you get out of it by, because I was going to say, did your daughter get her anything? So you get out of it by. Pawning it off on your daughter.
Yeah.
Then what'd you get her?
The manicure, pedicure, family experience, and dinner, Joel. Something.
Where'd
some
you go,
gifts.
Saltgrass?
No, we didn't go Saltgrass.
I was going to say, okay, that was almost the equivalent of a gift card.
Because it would have been hooked up.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know, man. I think you screwed yourself there. You rolled the dice and didn't expect that the big better was coming in last minute.
I didn't know. See, if he doesn't get those AirPods, it's actually a very successful birthday because she loved it. She wanted one of those things, right? Got a really nice one, but she even made fun of it. She's like, I got AirPods now. Like, you can double tap the AirPods and Siri's going to help you out.
Yep.
You can't do anything with the toothbrush except for, like, sync it maybe on your phone.
Oh, there's things you can do, but, you know.
No, this one's way too powerful for that. Oh, okay. It would destroy.
All right.
This just thing is, it. I'm telling you, it's seven times more powerful,
Joel. You
still
could have gotten her something else. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Hopefully you will be a part of the show. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, whether it be from toothbrushes to Tiger to anything in between, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line where you can call, you can text, you can also hit us on Twitter. I do want to tell you right now about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I know there are a lot of you still digging out after the hurricane, trying to do what's necessary to get your house back in order, and in a lot of cases that involves your roofing. There are storm chasers and deposit thieves out there that are trying to get your business, trying to get your money, but once they get your money, they're not going to finish finish the job. They're going to skip town, take off, take your money, and leave you holding the bag. That's not going to be the case with locally owned and operated roofing companies like Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing, why do I endorse them? Well, I'm telling you, because only 1% of roofers in the entire United States are authorized by CertainTeed to install their roofing systems. You guessed it. Fitz Roofing is one of those roofers. You know that they are one of the best in the entire country, and they are right here in Houston, Texas. They use high-quality shingles like those CertainTeed shingles, and their base warranties, well, they're longer and better than the average roofer is giving you on a daily basis, and that's just for starters. They can even do better than that. Not only are they going to do an outstanding job on your roof, but they care about the community as well. They give 10% back of all their profits to a nonprofit they set up called Fitz for Families, where the money goes to help people who need new roofs, but they can't afford it financially. This is a way that they can still get it done. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Simple, simple contact. FITZroofing.com, or you can just pick up the phone, you can give them a call. And when you call them, they are going to be there for you. They are going to take care of you every step of the way. And they have free, no obligation inspections. Perfect for you. It's simple. It's easy. Check them out online. FitzRoofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Maybe we're just trying too hard when really it's closer than it is.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! If you missed it, it's on you. But you can always get back on ESPN975.com or get on the podcast and check what you missed. Raheel stepping in for Barry. We appreciate him having some fun here on a Monday. Nick back where he belongs as we're all cruising along on the show. And we got some calls to get to. Want to get to some of the things that we've already been talking about. Sean was holding first and foremost. He's got some sportsy stuff. He wants to recap Tiger Woods and a little bit of that dude that finally signed with the Rockets today.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Sean?
Oh, not much. Well, I was just definitely going to touch upon that Tiger Woods real quick, and of course, Mello. But, I mean, I think we all seen the picture, so we definitely understand why she's grabbing his butt. But, man, you know, I was a little skeptical about getting Mello and stuff, but you know what? I am super excited, and I'm going to welcome Mello with open arms. You know, I had a lot of bad say about him, but you know what? I'm going to be positive, and I'm going to run with that. I'm going to see what you guys' take on that is, and give a shout-out to my boys Ryan and Texas Pro Crew. They're huge listeners, and I'll shut up and listen.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call, Sean. I didn't think she was that hot, first and foremost.
Tiger's girl?
Yeah, because it's not his type. You look at all the chicks that he was rolling through and all the chicks that surfaced that were like, I mean, first of all, from what I've heard, she is the manager of one of his restaurants or his restaurant. And he likes those maitre d's slash restaurant VIP types.
He has
right?
a category.
Yes, he has got a category, right? And so you look at his ex-wife, Elin, and you look at some of those chicks, and you're like, oh, he likes definitely likes blonde, blue-eyed. If not, he likes very voluptuous. She didn't seem to fit that bill, but yet things change when you...
Yeah, look, I'm not a big white and blue shoes kind of guy. I wasn't that like 2 years ago, but this season I am. So maybe flavors change, you know, tastes change
it's
in
fair.
Women, right?
That's fair.
No, if you're not married at that age.
Or if it didn't exactly turn out right every time you went with one category, maybe spice it up a little bit.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I think it's just temporary ass, that's all.
Well, there you go.
A temporary ass spending time with the kids.
Yeah, but... So that doesn't mean anything. He can get out of that.
Not only here, you know, in the United States, where of course they all fly private and Tiger rolls like that.
Yeah.
But she was at the British Open. So she and the kids were at the British Open wearing the red tops and, you know, dressing like dad and doing that whole thing on Sundays. So it's got to be more than just a passing thing.
Yeah. I mean, but he strikes me as a guy, though, like if he is going to have a girlfriend that he is going to be messing with, he's not going to like. He's not gonna necessarily go all out, but he's not gonna go soft or cheap about it. You know what I mean?
Well, based on what I've heard, he's not going soft anywhere.
No way.
He's very aggressive.
Oh man, Tiger, go get it. Erica Herman is the name.
Okay.
Erica Herman.
Brunette, right?
Yeah, she's a brunette. 33 years old.
any better pictures than, because, you know, very, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I saw her at the British Open, I thought, oh, Tiger brought his nanny to look after the kids. Because she was kind of, you know, but yet she was with the kids all the time and everything like that. And I'm like, look, you know, he's got, the kids still aren't old enough to be on their own. And he's got stuff he's got to worry about. So I get it. You bring your nanny. But then I see the full Maurice cheek grab and the peck on the lips. And you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Seemed like Tiger was kind of slow on that kiss, too. He's like, oh, not in front of the cameras.
I was worried about that. I thought he was going to react like that. But I think he almost kind of let her, he almost kind of slowed down, like, to like, get that full cheek in your hand.
He's like, you know what? It's not worth the fight afterwards. Yes, let's just do this.
Because afterwards he's going to do this, you know.
Yeah. What was his other question?
Sean, so he wanted to talk about that guy that the Rockets finally signed.
I'm not big on it.
I'm with you. And here's the thing. You guys are always, you know, wanting to hear what I think, and then I'll bashing me if I don't go with this is the greatest signing in the history of the planet. Bottom line is, you know what Carmelo has done his entire career. He scores, right? I think that he has enough playoff experience and big game experience, unlike Ryan Anderson, that if you're looking at him to take that role, he can shoot the three. Offensively, he can also put you on the low block, and he can score some baskets on the post. But I think you and I are both in the same boat. He plays no defense. So he's got to prove that, one, he wants to, and two, that he can legitimately do something to stop somebody along the way. And then on top of all that, you got the selfish Carmelo that ever since he came out of Syracuse, it's about me. And we saw in Oklahoma City last year, and you and I used to text back and forth during NBA games going, did you see that? He came off the bench ice cold in a two-point game with about 3 minutes to play and shot a 37-footer first time he touched it and did not care that he hardly drew iron.
There's no awareness either. Like, he's not that guy that could score with the best of them. He's a different player now, and we've already started with the whole, is he coming off the bench? Is he going to be a starter? You had a report this morning from Wojnarowski saying that the Rockets are going to bring him off the bench, but you said that he backtracked on that report.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
There's no awareness. In an interview with Jamel Hill earlier last month, he said, look, I'll know when I'm ready for the bench. It's not now. There's no awareness. He's not that guy. And again, when you play Carmelo with no defense and teams start picking you apart because he's in a pick-and-roll situation every single time down like he was in Oklahoma City, he's going to be on the bench. And then when he can't be on the floor and score, that's when you get Carmelo on the bench throwing faces and giving these looks like, what, I'm supposed to be out there. No, you're not, because you don't give an effort on defense. You're not good.
Think about this too, guys. There's a reason why Woj had to come back and either soft sell or retract some portion of that Melo's willing to come off the bench comment, because someone from Melo's camp read it and the red flag was thrown and went, whoa, Woj, we never said that. You got to do something about that, because that's already going to set a bad precedence before he even gets to practicing with the team. And then you even saw D'Antoni came right as we're getting ready to go on the air. D'Antoni came out and said, I'm not sure where he's going to be. Is he going to be a starter? Is he going to come off the bench? That already is trying to backtrack. So you know that a guy that should at best be third fiddle is already acting like a prima donna.
Well, and the minutes that he's going to take up, if he comes off the bench, are you taking up some of Eric Gordon's minutes? Are you taking away from James Ennis? Are you taking away from a defender? Where are the minutes? You know, whose minutes is he going to eat up? Because I know Ariza's gone. I get Luke Mbamute's gone. But there are some other guys that need to start getting minutes on this team. You need to get younger. You need to get faster legs out there. Maybe a Melton. Is he going to be the guy that gets some minutes for the Rockets? But if Carmelo's there, now all of a sudden it's harder for these other guys to get minutes. So I know we got a lot of time before the season starts. It's big because he officially signed, which, by the way, finally, thank God, this is over.
Good thing that didn't drag out.
And Daryl gets his wish. Daryl Morey finally gets Carmelo Anthony.
Daryl Morey has had Carmelo Anthony in his mouth for like 10 years. Every time free agency or other trades come up, oh, I'd really like to see Carmelo in the Rockets uniform. Be great. Okay, finally you get your guy. You get him not only on the downside, but you get him. The good thing is you're only paying $2.4 million for this guy. But the infatuation I understood when Les Alexander owned the team, because he's a New York guy. He saw him win at Syracuse. He saw him with the Knicks. He thought he'd be the perfect fit. And that was also when he was a younger, more talented Carmelo that was doing things for USA Basketball and otherwise, where you said, oh, even with a group of stars, he can blend. But that was just for that small little window. interesting that he finally gets his guy, but did he be careful what you wish for to see how he fits in. So that'll be interesting. I mean, you guys, the one for you're both basketball heads like me, but it, my question to both of you is, if he doesn't start, who does? Because I said Tucker, and Barry thought that that disrupted your bench a lot, but I think that the best lineup would be Capella, Tucker.
Well, they were playing their best basketball when Tucker was starting.
Right.
I mean, Tucker's your starter.
So then is Ennis your three?
That's where I'm curious. Are they going to go full defense? Like, hey, we need to get a guy that's active on defense that can stroke the three a little bit, and he's going to get better in the system, and he can run. He can run with Chris Paul and James Harden. Ennis can fly now.
He can, but there's also a camp out there today that was releasing information that said, look, Carmelo has to respect the guy that he's not going to start, who was going to be starting in place of him. And Eric Gordon was that guy because he respects the fact he's won a sixth man. He was an all-star. He's the kind of guy that he can at least go, yeah, I get that. But I don't know. I do like the fact that Melo, CP3, and Harden have worked out together for the last couple summers in L.A., and that at least when those three guys are all on the court at the same time, I think that they know chemistry enough. Offense is not going to be a problem, but it wasn't last year. But you lost two-fifths of your defensive team that made you a top-five defensive team in the league. I don't see where you're getting that back.
So you guys more concerned with him fitting well on offense or not playing defense? What's a bigger concern?
Here's what's going to happen. He's going to be fine. He'll be fine beginning half of the season. He's going to feel fresh. But as the season winds down, teams start getting more into defensive matchups and picking you apart with the weakest guy on the floor defensively. That's Carmelo. Then what happens? Then he's going to have to shoot himself out of that slump of defensively not being able to hold anybody. And then you start taking bad shots. Then you're on the bench, and that's where the whole thing snowballs into, oh, what is Carmelo doing? Why? What is this? So
the biggest benefit I have, though, is at least between the years, he's never seen a shot he didn't like, and he doesn't care if he's missed his last 17. He's taken the 18th, whereas Ryan Anderson played hot potato or shot it from Galveston and hoped that it would go in, and that's a bad look. And he doesn't do anything else. So at least Melo can do some things. But, yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right. Raheel, Nick, and myself are going to be back. We're just an hour number one of the three-hour show, so we've got plenty more to get to. And if you want to join us, please do. 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter. Right now, I'll tell you about the good people at Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long time. They do great things in the Houston area because of donations from Houstonians like you. And it all stays right here in H-Town. It is fantastic. If you had a vehicle that was damaged in the hurricane or otherwise, and you don't want to pay even more money to have it towed away because it's not working anymore, well, all you got to do is pick up the phone, call 713-225-4226 or log on to carsforkids.org. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you. They tow it away. They do all the paperwork. You get a tax deduction. You mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. And that's where the process really begins, because your donations are turned into resources for these kids trying to get their education. And the things that they don't have that are distractions, when they are put to rest because of your donations, they can focus on the books, they can get their degrees, they can continue to move through the educational process. It's fantastic. So things like eyeglasses, book money, bus fare, warm meals, all the things that they don't have can be huge distractions, but if they do have, they can focus on the books, and it's all possible because of you. So if you have something that's been, you know, collecting rust and dust in your driveway or your garage, a car, a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, RV, or more, and like I said, whether it's running or not, and you want to make a donation, now is the time to do it. 713-225-4226 or carsforkids.org, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. I see you there. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, having some fun on a Monday. Raheel is in for Barry. It's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. Hour number one, three-hour extravaganza we call The Big Show. Avery, you guys were holding. We wanted to get you in. We looked up and poof, you were gone. So come on back when you get a chance. Hopefully something was just a distraction and you can get back on the hotline, because we'd love to have you a part of the show. I made the mistake of checking the text messages, and top, OU Mike is just being OU Mike. We're not even going to read it.
Rahil's not a big fan of the text
messages. I hate the text message line.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. That's why Barry normally, Nick and I let Barry kind of handle it on the regular, and then we check it every now and then.
I rarely open it up.
Honestly. I'm a usual suspect. I listen to you guys when I'm heading out, and I'll text you guys. Yep. You know, personally, I'm lucky enough to have y'all's numbers. But I hear it every once in a while, Barry will read a text message and get ticked off. And I'm just like, Barry, you don't need to check the text line. That's it.
He loves it. And he, cause he learned from the Blitz and, you know, and those are his buddies. And believe me, I mean, obviously it's proven that when you can be receptive to not only just calls, but social media, because we obviously with the Signal and all the things we went through over the last 6 months to a year, the more that you can make direct connections, the more you get regulars. And so we are very loyal to tweets, Twitter, phone calls, and then Barry runs the text for the most part, but we want to make sure that we make a conscious effort to get to them too because it's important. But you're right, man. But the funny thing to me is every bit of advice Barry gave me from the time that he said he would take the text messages, he does not follow himself.
No, he doesn't.
Because when he gets fired up, look out.
Because the interactive part is so fun. Obviously, you're going to come across some a-holes and some just guys you just don't want to read any of their texts, but the interactive part is so fun, so it's a balance that you have to deal with, but I enjoy it.
Spelling champions, too, by the way, because one of the text messages says, can we get more Raheel on the reg, and it's R-E-H.
I'll take it. Hey, man. Hey, that's a tough name. If that wasn't my name, I probably wouldn't know how to spell it either. I still misspell my last name all the time.
How do you misspell your own last name?
Yo, you try. Have you seen my last name?
I have, but it's not my last name.
Sometimes you run out of the letters.
I think the funniest thing ever was Barry Warner making references about things you've said on the air or whatever, and then just either forgetting your name, not saying it, or just hacking the hell out of it.
Oh, he's butchering.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, because there were times that I was texting him going, who did you just say? Because he'd go, Raheel Rams.
Ramzahali?
Rams. What?
Yeah, he put an H in it once. Yep. So
then
L.
One day he pulled just a totally other name out of the books, and I'm like, who is that?
He called me Sean Bajani.
No, not close.
Don't put Sean on me.
He loves him some Sean. Sean Bajani is awesome.
Sean's a great dude. Yeah, really. Great dude.
Hey, look, they came back. We love it. That's great. All right, so let's get right away to Avery because he was waiting the longest before the break. We appreciate you. You want to get here on Mello. What's up, Avery?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Good show.
Appreciate that, man. What's up?
I wouldn't wait too long. I actually got disconnected out here on the road. But what I wanted to comment was about was actually what you guys were already in lieu of talking about with Carmelo. Mm-hmm. And I had a little small observation. With Chris Paul, you know he's going to be in players' ears and make them play defense. And James Harden has been one who we've ostracized and looked at for years because his defense has always been suspect. But I would say last year, maybe a little year before last, and last year for sure, we saw vast improvements with him on the defensive end. I think our defensive coach is Coach Fizdelic. I think that's his name.
Jeff Fizdelic, yep.
What are the chances of, with Chris Paul, and with, we know P.J. Tucker, we know he's gonna get grungy on defense, and with Coach Fizdelic now getting in Carmelo's ear, and Carmelo knowing that this kind of like his last hoorah, do you see any possibilities of him actually trying to dig in and play a little bit better defense than he's ever played in his career? I'll hang up and listen. Good show, guys.
Thanks for the call, Avery. Look, I think this way. I think that if Carmelo is smart, right, he's kind of on the twilight side. And as he won the college title. But we all know that the biggest way to really solidify your legacy is to win on the highest level and win an NBA title. If he's smart, he's got the tools around him that he could be the ideal fit for this team. And I think he will be offensively. But I think that defensively, I think just the fact that we're talking about that they wanted Woj to kind of change his initial stance about him coming off the bench, the two biggest things about are won't with Carmelo, not can't, right? It's not something he can't do. It's just things that we've heard even as late as last year in Oklahoma City, he won't do. He won't play defense, and he won't come off the bench. So if he's willing to make some sacrifices in order to be a part of the bigger picture for the bigger end goal, then I'm all for it.
Man, that has to be the only hope and reason why the Rockets make this move is that you hope that he plays a little defense, that you hope Chris Paul, P.J. Tucker can light a fire under him. Because as Avery mentioned, James Harden was a plus defender in the post. He was fantastic in the post. I'll defend that. I look, the rest of the defensive, he gave some effort there. He was still swiping a lot. That's fine. But in the post, James Harden was a fantastic defender. And that does take some effort. That does get, you know, that does take some work on getting better. If Carmelo can just be a plus defender at times, we're not asking you to shut down the best player, but just at times, you know, not blowing assignments where all of a sudden there's just a wide open hoop and you're leaving your team on an island trying to figure out, like, what? Why is this guy so open? Why is there another backdoor cut? Why are you falling asleep? Because as much as we love James, and again, as much as he's improved post-defensively, he still has a lot of moments where you go, did he just fall asleep on defense?
And now you had bitches about a call and then quits and doesn't even go to the other end. Those things still happen.
But it was okay last year because 4 out of 5 were still doing it.
Right.
3 out of 5 now, if Carmelo's also the same way, you've got yourself in some trouble there when it matters. So.
I said this, Nick knows this, throughout the year last year. And I said you could actually go to a suicide lineup that could handle the death squad of the Warriors because you had 5 guys that legitimately could dig their feet in when you want to play offense, defense, get you that stop, call that timeout, change the personnel for offense, and get better shooters out there, and you could play the Warriors game. You lost 2 of your 5 best defenders, and I don't know where you've replaced them. Because James Ennis is athletic, but he's another guy that's not known for his defense. He can play some defense, but again, I think to Avery's point, which is great, you really need Bezdelic to start from training camp and go, this is how we're going to focus and make it a priority to stop people, because you're going to score points with anyone, including the Warriors. You just have that much talent offensively. But defensively, you haven't proven to me you've replaced what you've lost. And then when you look at how that translates to the rest of the West, Golden State added a top 5 center. You can say he's one of the top 3. You could say he's one, whatever. I'm not going lower than 5, and he was an all-star. So they got better. I think if you unload Ryan Anderson for a James Johnson type, a Kent Bazemore type, guys that are known to be able to stop people on the perimeter and still fit their style of play offensively, now I think you've gotten better. But until then, I think there's still question marks. I'm not hating. Look, I was the one that said that Paul and Harden were going to get along and they were going to play together. But you know the best thing that ever happened to that whole thing, to get off on the right foot? Chris Paul missed 14 of the first 15 games. So he could sit right next to the coaching staff and observe and go, here's where I can make them better. Here's where I can pull the reins back on James. Here's where we can take some of the heat off of James so that maybe he has more energy left on the defensive end. Carmelo is a different animal, as we've seen, and doesn't have... Chris Paul came in open-minded to do whatever the team needs. As the point guard, you need to do that. I want to see if Carmelo can do the same thing. Yep. There you have it. All right, hour number one's in the books. 2 hours still to go on the big show. Plenty more to get to, and we're having some fun. Eric, hang in there. We'll get you after the break. You want to ask Raheel a question about shoes. Well, I could probably fill in on that, too. But anyway, we'll continue to roll on. It's Joel. It's Nick. It's Raheel on a makeshift version of The Usual Suspects on a Monday right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.